T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Presented by Chafin Lujan Injury Law Firm, doing good by doing right. Let's talk to Steelers insider Mark Cabali. Mark, do you like the song Redneck Yacht Club?
I was listening to that earlier, and it was kind of awful. I would not expect you to listen to something like that, Pony.
What would you expect Pony to listen to?
Yeah, what was on your iPod, Mark?
You know, iPod, come on, man.
Mark's iPod was just Joe Esposito over and over. You're the best around.
I do have that.
Of course you do.
If the young kids know what that is. But no, I don't even know if I had an iPod. But back in my days, like, you know, Napster on the computer.
Yep.
You know, whatever would be the fastest one you could download was one you would pick and download. Pony, he used to sound like, you know, what were we talking about, mid-90s? I thought he'd be like a Meat Puppets type of guy.
The Meat Puppets?
The meat puppets.
Like alt-rock, and I'm not even a Meat Puppets guy.
I'm looking them up
the
right now.
The only thing I know about the Meat Puppets is when on the Nirvana Live in New York album, they come on and do a show
like
with
some
it, or do a song with him.
These guys look like some big-time pot smokers, the Meat Puppets. Okay.
Well,
I don't know how to take that.
They're probably walking to the Carrier Dome. You know, taking a game or two.
Yeah. Speaking of Carrier Dome, Ben's had some pointed questions this week on the Zoom calls, didn't he?
Yeah. You know, here's the greatest one about Ben's the since they put us basically, you know, when we're doing the Zoom calls, there's two different channels you can go on to. Benzie was on the Matt Canada one. I was on the Butler one. We were so close to each other and up in the Hinesville press box that when Benzie gave his little whatever to Matt Canada, it came through my voice. And it messed up Keith Butler, and he totally got confused and said,
"So Ben's was so loud with that announcer voice that it bled through your question to Butler? He could hear it?"
Yes, I forgot to hit mute after I asked my question. Butler's midway through. He goes, "What's that?"
And the Ben's baritone seeps through.
Ben's just popping in with like a Duquesne basketball type of deal.
Yes, Robert Morris hockey, right? So, yeah.
Sensitive subject.
With my, in my Zoom, probably about 15 chairs away.
Mark, what are you allowed to tell us about Dwayne Haskins?
Oh, whatever you want to know. I can tell you my
God. Pony's going to be asking you about it. You know, what was he
How
like when he was
a teenager? Mark?
Yeah. What was he like when he was a teenager? Has he always been such a nice kid?
Has he always loved strip clubs?
What do you think about Bouchette saying, if you're what is a birthday party when you're 22 if you don't have strippers?
I don't think I had strippers at a 22-year-old birthday party. Maybe that's something. You know, people do at IUP or something like that. We don't do that stuff at Cal U.
Harvard on the Mon. Confirmed.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's interesting conversation from Ed. I'm disappointed I missed that.
Yeah.
All right, so what can you tell us about Haskins in all seriousness? I'll try to display a modicum of professionalism here.
Well, put it this way. If you're thinking that he's going to somehow supplant Mason Rudolph as the number two and be the first guy in if Roethlisberger struggles or gets hurt, I would say that you were wrong, at least at this point right now. There's nothing that he did over the past 4 weeks in my eyes that even potentially would even, you know, give Mason Rudolph.
Do you think there's anything he could do during the preseason, Mark, that would give Mason Rudolph a run for it?
That's different. Maybe he comes out and you know, mini camp and training camp, you're looking at stuff that are very basic, as in you take the ball, you throw here. Actually, you could look at him going to training camp and preseason and going maybe a step even backwards, because that's where he got in trouble in Washington, where he had to read, recognize, make the decision quickly. Here, he didn't have to do that. And there's nothing that really jumped out at me ever that said, wow, this guy's, you know, other than, you know, throwing the ball through the car wash or, you know, the garden hose or whatever it is, that says that he's something special in my eyes. Because when I see, and I know you're going to probably have something to say about this, when I see Roethlisberger out there taking the snap, taking the drop, making the throw, making, you know, the read, he looks like a professional quarterback. Dwayne Haskins just didn't have that feel to me over these first 4 weeks. Like I said, maybe that changes come training camp. But I think it's really unfair to even think that he can come in here and they can switch him and turn him into a back into that Ohio State quarterback in within a year. I think he's going to need some work. I think he needs work with Mike Sullivan, Matt Canada, and hopefully the best-case scenario when he's around in minicamp next year, he takes that step where he can potentially – you know, push Mason Rudolph, or if Ben's still here for that job.
But it sure seems the way they talk about him, Mike Tomlin, even some of his teammates, it sounds like he's more than just a guy with a pulse, that he's not a camp arm. Like, Tomlin's talking about him under his wing like it's a father-son thing and he's getting to know the guy. Like, it seems like they've got something, not money, but they've got something invested in him as a player, Mark.
I think they like him as a person over these couple months he's been around. Maybe that's what they're talking about a lot. And they know his history. They know what he was able to do in that year in Ohio State. And so, of course, I think they're going to try to give him every benefit of the doubt and try to build him up that way, you know, before he gets on the field or anything like that. But I know everybody who's talked on Zoom and, you know, they've said positive things about him, you know, whether it's his arm, whether it's his personality, whether, you know, how he goes about his business. So that's, you know, that's number one. I mean, that's the stuff that he basically wasn't doing in Washington, right? He was not being the leader. He wasn't doing his job. He wasn't mature.
Yep.
So if you take that first step and get him in line there first, then we can work on everything else beneath that. So that's the way I look at it. But nothing I saw in the month that says, wow, this guy is a 15th overall pick.
Mark, to talk about, well, not directly talk about the incumbent starting quarterback, but to talk about him a little bit here, how much of his play or how much improvement can be gained this year simply by having his wide receivers catch the ball more often than they did last year? And drop it with much less frequency. Like that was the thing that got said that I didn't want to put too much credence in, and I still don't, but I have to acknowledge that the numbers are what they are.
Yeah, I think it was 46, right? Led the NFL in drops. Deontay Johnson had, depending on what site you look at, anywhere between 14 and 16. I believe 6 or 7 of those came during that Washington who'd they play after Washington? Baltimore-Washington game and Buffalo game right in there. And, you know, you can't have that type of drops. Of course, that will help. I mean, along with Ebron, too. I think he was up there with 7 or 8. That's what's going to make this team have a chance this year. They're going to have to clean up all of those little things, and it turns into big things like the drops. I mean, you can't have that and think you're going to go out there and be able to sustain drives. You look in Buffalo, I think Deontay Johnson dropped 2 of the first 3 passes of the game, maybe 3 of the first 4. Maybe he catches that. Maybe that has a different outcome after that. I don't know. But I think that does have a big case. And I think another thing is, I think if you can somehow get more protection for the quarterback so that he can hold the ball more than 2.4 seconds, I think that will go a long way in helping it out as well. If Roethlisberger plays exactly the way he did last year, but gets better run game, a better receivers can catch the ball, and the line can protect a little bit, I mean, I don't see why not 10 wins, right? I mean, I don't think that the quarterback will be the reason that they falter this year. I think it will be bad offensive line play,
Well, how has that offensive line play looked? I know it's not, you know, in pads and they're not, you know, button heads and all that. They're not doing Oklahoma drills, Mark. Yeah. But I've heard some rumors about that Dan Moore basically looked like a guy that belongs in the XFL, this fourth-round pick.
I will tell you this right now. It depends on how you look at it. I know you guys are negative, and I'm positive.
Oh, I'm not negative. I think Haskins might be the next great Steelers quarterback, so don't bag on me.
I'm 100% negative. I'm negative all the time, Mark. I am glass broken, and your wrist is cut because you were holding it.
Well, my point was, you're looking at Dan Morgan looking like he's awful and might not be able to play. I look at it like Cassius Marsh is the next J.J. Watt. So you can take it for whatever it's worth. One guy looked extremely good doing what he did, and one guy looked extremely bad at times. I'm trying to think that it's more to the point that Dan Moore needs some help right now. I mean, I don't think you're going to even consider him getting a helmet this year.
Interesting.
After what I saw over.
How would you handicap the race for the center starting job?
You know, I don't think Kendrick Green was around very much, as in rep-wise, or at least reps with the so-called ones. It's hard because Banner's not practicing, the Castro's not practicing, so it's just a makeshift offensive line right now. Once again, I think once you get to training camp, then those guys might be able to separate themselves a little bit between Hasenauer, Finney, and Green. It's because it's going to depend a lot on, you know, knowing the scheme, knowing the calls as the center, and, you know, some physicality as well. So I think that job probably more up in the air right now and will be determined in training camp, because you really, really can't do much, evaluation here rather than, hey, let's hit the guy who's holding the dummy 5 yards down the field. I mean, what do you get from that?
What's going on with David DeCastro?
I don't know. That's a good question. I don't think Tom would like to be asked about anybody who wasn't there, including him. And he just said, assume that everybody was okay to leave. I don't know. I would imagine, first of all, I'm sure that he doesn't like that 4 of the 5 offensive linemen are gone within the past 2 years. But there's probably really no use in him going out there. He was out there, maybe I would like to see him one day. I think it was it. That doesn't mean he wasn't in the building for a couple other days. I don't know. I mean, I think he was hurt more than he led on last year. I don't think he ever got over that injury from early in training camp last year, and they're taking it kind of easy. That's the only thing I could think of right now, because he really hasn't shown his face very much over the past month.
Mark, am I right in saying that based on what happened in minicamp that James Pierre is way ahead of Justin Lane right now in the depth chart?
I would say. I mean, James Pierre made some plays. And that's a position where you could probably get a little bit better feel than, say, any of the interior line, because, you know, the guy's covering the guy down the field, always making plays. He's going to make plays. And, I mean, it's pretty significant, I think, if he can. There's so many different ways that secondary can play out, depending who steps up and shows they're capable of playing snaps. I mean, I think the jack of all trades will be Cam Sutton, depending on what James Pierre can do, what a guy like Antoine Brooks can do. I mean, in worst case scenario, you're going to have a Cam Sutton jumping from outside corner in the base to nickel, to the slot in the nickel, into the dime linebacker, you know, in the 6 defensive backs. They don't want that. They'd rather keep him just outside. But I think that is yet to be determined. The one thing about Pierre is, and he's big. He's 6'2". He's, what, 220 or something like that. He can run pretty decent. I mean, he didn't have much way of, you know, experience coming from, what, Central Florida or anything like that. But I think he's definitely a step ahead of Justin Lane, just because he's made some plays.
How close are we to calling Justin Lane a bust then?
Probably about 2 months, because if you get into the season and, you know, he's in his third year, and if you're not playing by your third year, you're probably not going to be around for your fourth year. I mean, when they took him, they knew darn well he was going to be a project. He didn't play corner very much in Michigan State. what, wide receiver or something maybe? Or he played a different position for the most part at Michigan State, and they knew that they had to teach him the position. Mm. But there's only so long you have to go before you can realize, you know, the Brian Allen effect of a couple years ago. They thought they could transfer him into from a receiver at Utah to a corner.
Where do they get off with this idea that they can do this?
Well, like, they thought Artie Burns was a raw piece of clay they could mold into a great corner, too.
I would understand more if they took a cornerback from college and said, we can turn him into a great receiver, given their track record at that position. Where do they get the arrogance to think they can convert wide receivers to corners?
Probably the head coach.
They can't even take corners and convert them into corners.
Probably old DB's coach, Mike Tomlin.
God, if Justin Lane's a project, he's like one of those PennDOT ones.
And he played wide receiver in college and then became a DB's coach, Chris, so maybe that's it.
Well, it doesn't work.
I mean, that's why I always say is when you talk about what they're going to do with defensive backs in the future here when Hayden's gone, I think you just got to go out and spend some money on a free agent because you can't do it by drafting him or anything to that.
That goes right to my point of how can anyone feel good about this secondary when they got rid of a guy in Nelson that they brought in from the outside who was good, and they're now back to relying mostly on their own drafted and developed players.
There goes glass half empty again, Mark.
No, it's called glass half realistic. I mean, seriously, I have great trepidation in their secondary or about their secondary because of what I just said. They're relying on a bunch of their own guys, and typically that hasn't worked for them.
Oh, but what, 50% of them, I guess? What, right? Edmonds and Sutton. I think Sutton they might have gotten it right with, so maybe that's on a different level. But I don't know. I mean, when you're looking at, like I said, like a guy like Antoine Brooks who couldn't even get a helmet last year and thinking he's now going to be your slot guy, either with Shakur Brown or whoever comes out of that mix, yeah, you have to be a little bit questioned, not on his position there and how that guy plays it, but how it affects the scheme around them. Because if a guy can't do what Mike Hilton basically did last year, now it's going to have to trickle down to other guys on that defense doing other stuff or a scheme switching a little bit, and that's not what they want to do.
Mark, are you going to play any golf with Starkey this weekend?
I think I would whip Starkey. I mean, let me tell you something. Colony yesterday was telling me about the Jim Colony ways of teaching golf. He told him to, like, kick the ball into the fairway and take multiple shots and don't keep score. I'm like, who in the world tells somebody to do that?
Zeiss got to play the Ocean course at Kiowa, where they just had the PGA. He said he went down there and very fancy place. They have caddies. He said the best advice he got from his caddy was, do not keep score, enjoy the walk. Don't worry about what you shoot. And Zeiss said it made the round way more enjoyable than it otherwise would have been.
Yeah. He must not have a competitive bone in his body.
Oh, let's go. You love to hear it.
Craig, cut that bad boy up.
Whew. You want to break 100. You want to beat the guy next to you. You want to say, I don't know, I didn't keep score. When you say, I don't know, I don't keep score, you're probably shooting about a 145. That's what it says to me.
Mark Cabali, Steelers insider over at The Athletic. Great stuff, Mark, especially that last one.
All right.
Thank you.
All right, guys.
Bye.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.